Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Acting Executive Director for the Federation. Joining me today is Board Member and President of Erie's People for Life, Tim Broderick. Welcome, Tim, to Lifelines Radio.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me.
It's really a pleasure to have you, Tim. I so admire you and your work in Erie. It's just an inspiration.
Oh, thank you for those kind words.
You're welcome. So, what is Erie's People for Life up to right now?
Well, Maria, we're kind of just all recovered from our January activities where we had a bus trip to the DC March for Life. And a real nice pro-life breakfast. This is back in January. And now we're looking ahead to a student oratory contest for high school students on April 13th. Then a couple days later, on the 15th, we're having a talk about assisted suicide and euthanasia by an Erie physician who's also a medical ethics expert. And goes on from there, at the end of May, or rather at the beginning of May, we have our Erie March for Life, the 47th annual Erie March for Life. And we're looking forward to hosting Remmel Tenney from the Federation, who's going to be one of our speakers, along with Congressman Mike Kelly. Our first community outreach booth of the season will be at the end of May, May 29th to June 1st, Erie Wild Rib Cook-Off. And we're also gearing up for to start some rallying out in front of our local Walgreens pharmacy because of the abortion pill. And we're having new rally signs printed right now, even as we speak.
That's remarkable. You have so much going on, and I'm sure that it's a blessing to have that march in the springtime rather than in the winter time. I mean, so many years we've been battling the cold, and now we can march in the spring and really celebrate the overturn of Roe versus Wade.
Yep, I think we're all looking forward to the warmer weather. And it's going to be just a week before Mother's Day. We think that's very appropriate as well.
Absolutely. Now, how do you think things have changed since the Dobbs decision overturning Roe?
Well, I think they have indeed changed to some extent. And I think a lot of us will agree that our opposition has become more strident, more belligerent, you might say. And I think as a result, I hate to say it, but some of our pro-life political people are maybe scared a little bit. And I believe very strongly that there's no need for that. I don't think the majority of us have changed our opinions about anything. And we're in it for the long haul, and we're going to do whatever it takes to keep bringing respect for every human life back into the mainstream and back into everyday America.
Yes.
Locally, there has been some pro-abortion drama, but nothing like we were seeing at the national level. Immediately after Dobbs, I did notice some increased tensions right here in little old Erie. And I would notice perhaps more than some people because I have usually have a few bumper stickers, pro-life bumper stickers on my car, and they're generally pretty much ignored. But immediately after Dobbs, I was being noticed. I'll just put it that way. But last summer 2003, things calmed down, and I would say things were pretty much back to normal.
Now, do you remember where you were when the Dobbs decision came down?
Yes, Maria, I do. That's an easy one. We were on our way from Erie here to Buffalo, New York. My wife was going up to Buffalo to receive her documentation as a brand new American citizen. So it was a memorable day for more than one reason. And about halfway up to Buffalo, I received a call from an Erie newspaper reporter. And that's actually how I got the news.
Oh my goodness. So you got the news from a newspaper reporter.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And so what was that conversation like?
Well, our newspaper isn't very much of the pro-life mindset, but he's a good reporter, and we've worked together on a lot of stories, including he was the main reporter covering our abortion facility when that was here in Erie for a few years. So we kind of know each other pretty well. And just wanted to know what I thought. And I guess even at that point, I was surprised that, you know, the draft decision had come out and people were predicting an overturn of Roe. But I still found it hard to believe until it finally happened.
Yes, because we had worked for so many years to see that day occur. And I had told people for a long time that it would happen in our lifetime. And a lot of people balked at that, but it was indeed the case. And I think that's because it was a tragically flawed ruling, and it just could not stand the test of time.
I agree totally. I knew it was going to end at some point. I just didn't think it would happen all in one fell swoop like that.
Tim, what are some of the biggest challenges the pro-life movement faces currently?
Well, I think we do face a very determined, very angry opposition. And that's within the government and outside the government. And, they have the full support of most of the mainstream media. So we have a lot of work to do on messaging, and we have we don't have the size of the megaphone the other side has. So we have to be very, very persistent. And we see large corporations choosing sides, and unfortunately, I mean, choosing the pro-abortion side. And we also have to deal with now the mifepristone abortion pill, and that's being leveraged to increase the numbers of abortions. And I'm afraid, Maria, that people are getting the impression that this abortion pill is just a piece of cake, just something simple, just like having an aspirin or something. And I'm afraid that's going to generate even more unwanted pregnancies. People will not take the whole thing as seriously. So that in itself has the potential of increasing the number of abortions.
Yes, and we see where the complication rate from those abortion pill procedures is actually four times that of a surgical abortion. And so many women wind up in an emergency room after taking the abortion pill, mifepristone. And we're trying to get that word out to people. And you mentioned that you're going to be holding events to call attention to the dangers of mifepristone. I'm wondering, what are some of your biggest educational activities right now?
Well, probably our most ambitious project annually is our educational booths, and we go out to community events. Right now, we're definitely going to be at eight different fairly large events over the summertime. So that's fairly labor intensive, and there's a lot of setup and tear down and many hours on the job. But also our communications efforts are ongoing. We have a paper newsletter that comes out three times a year, and that goes out about 5,500 addresses. We do email updates more frequently, a few times a month. And right now, that's at about 1,700 subscribers, and we try to keep up with current material on Facebook. We have our main profile and five. I just counted them five. You might say sub profiles that cover particular activities that we do, particular events. And then we're on Instagram, X, and now Instagram Threads. And I try to get something up there on LinkedIn too once in a while through my own personal account. So all of that is a day-to-day tour for us. We're also looking to have a billboard campaign later this year. We did this a few years ago and it worked really well. We were able to get up about a dozen billboards over a period of months all throughout the Erie area here. And how far we go with the billboards will depend on how many donations come in. But like I say, last time it was fairly well received, and so we have a good chance of getting some generous support from the area.
And I want to tell people, if you're in the Erie area, please subscribe to that email newsletter, because it is just a wonderful publication. Tim does a fantastic job getting that together, and you'll be informed and you will be educated about what's going on in that area as far as pro-life is concerned. So if people want to subscribe to that email newsletter, what should they do, Tim?
Just an email to office@peopleforlife.org will be fine. And let's keep the channels of communication open. We'd love to stay in touch with you.
You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. Joining us today is Tim Broderick of Erie's People for Life. Tim, what is the reaction of people who see your booth at fairs and festivals?
Yeah, well, there are mixed reactions. Some people are really excited and really appreciate the fact that here we are out in the public square, so to speak, out in the general public, with a pro-life cause firmly there, planted on the ground. And, so we get some, it really makes us feel good to get feedback from people like that. But there are even more people that are attracted, not because they're really tuned in to human life issues necessarily, but they see our unborn baby models. And that's the big draw. And that, they speak for themselves. So we're able to answer the more detailed questions about the fetal development if we need to. But just looking at the babies and holding the babies goes a long way all by itself. We do get some negativity, but usually that's just limited to people walking by, maybe rolling the eyeballs a little bit or shaking their heads. They very rarely have much to say, and that's surprising to a lot of people. But maybe we're just in a more relaxed area of the country. I don't know, but it's something we look forward to, and we don't have to dread a lot of nastiness or negativity. We also hand out I Love Life helium balloons. And that's a big help in our work. It really, we reel them in with the balloons and some stickers. And while they're waiting for the balloons, they get to hear about the babies and the fetal models. So yeah, it's a little bit of everything. What's really frustrating though, Maria, is how many people just don't seem to be affected at all, one way or the other. It's just, it just seems like a lot of people are aloof to the whole topic.
That's interesting.
Not to end on a negative note there. It's really good. And you know what, on a more positive note, the young people really love to come over and see the babies. I'm talking about middle school and high school kids and all the way on up. And moms and dads like to bring their kids over to see the babies.
Do you ever have people who share their stories with you after seeing those fetal models?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Lots of stories. People like to tell us about experiences with prematurity and babies. Well, usually it's as a result of premature delivery. You know, their special needs and long times in the hospital and so forth. But it seems like it's always, in the end, a positive experience for everyone concerned. Once in a while, someone will confide their stories about having had an abortion or almost being to that point. And I think people would be surprised to know that, you know, it's it's probably best to have a woman there to who would perhaps better understand those kinds of situations. But there are a lot of women who really want to share their story, even with a man like myself. And I find that if we approach those encounters with some sense of compassion and understanding, people are want to open up and need to open up, no matter who they're talking to, as long as it's somebody who's not going to be judgmental, you know.
Mm-hmm. What is student involvement in the pro-life movement like right now?
Well, we love student involvement, and we're doing fairly well. We have a nice relationship with Gannon University Students for Life here in Erie. And we also have a medical school, and there's some work there to establish a pro-life group on the campus. And we're working with those people too. We have a bus trip to the March for Life in DC every January. And again, Students for Life always come along. This year we hosted about 20 of them. And as a matter of fact, our spokesperson, we had the TV stations come out as we were departing for Washington. And we had a young lady from Gannon as our main spokesperson that evening. And we do enjoy some help from high school volunteers. I'm thinking in one case, for example, they help with the assembly of our newsletter every few months. And at our pro-life breakfast that we held in January, we had 30 complimentary seats, 20 for high school students and 10 for students from Gannon University, and they were all filled. We also like to give the students a chance to say a few words at our events, for instance, the breakfast and our Erie March for Life, but at other events as well. And again, they're very well received, and people just appreciate it so much. And they just jump at the chance to meet the students after the events are over. So it's there's a win-win situation for you.
And Erie is quickly gaining fame as a home for oratory contest winners.
Yeah, very true, Maria. We had our local contest winner from last April go all the way to the National Right to Life Convention, and she won there as well. So we're very proud of that young lady, and she's looks like she's going to continue her career in the pro-life ranks. She's going to work for National Right to Life this summer.
That's just incredible, and that shows the importance of that youth outreach, because there you have identified a true leader of the pro-life movement, and she is impacting people right now. It's not as if she's a future leader; she's a leader currently.
Exactly.
Now, and Tim, if you had a chance to sit down with a politician who was not pro-life, what would you tell him or her?
Well, that's a big question, Maria. Maybe you probably do a better job than I would, but I would start by asking if there are any limits on abortion that this politician would entertain. For instance, what about after the baby can be safely delivered instead of being killed in an abortion? So, in other words, Mr. or Ms. Politician, does the baby have any rights whatsoever that the mother, or actually more to the point, that an abortionist cannot just violate with impunity? In other words, are you pro-life at least to some extent? Let's start there. And if the answer is, I support no limits whatsoever, then I would ask the politician, there's no rights whatsoever until birth, how are you so sure that a baby 1 or 2 months after birth should have any rights that must be respected. How can this unalienable right to life just magically appear as we exit the birth canal? And I don't know, I would hope that would make them think a little bit. But one thing I always say, when somebody says they're not pro-life or they're pro-abortion, I want to say, well, maybe you're more pro-life than what you realize, because for most people, there comes a point where you have to say, yes, you know, this far and no farther.
I think that's true. I think people generally are more pro-life than they think they are, because they get caught up in perhaps the hard cases, and they don't stop and realize, well, those so-called hard cases just amount to a few percentage of all the abortions that take place, because most of the abortions are for socioeconomic reasons. They have nothing to do with life of the mother, rape, or incest. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, that's right. I believe in approaching these conversations by asking questions. I want to find out what that person really thinks, and before I need to tell him exactly what I think. Because otherwise we're just, we can be talking past each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. I think that it's very important to ask pertinent questions of people to find out where they stand, because they may be under many false impressions, because unfortunately, we don't often hear the truth in the mainstream media about the life issues. And people are under a lot of false impressions. So it's good to ask them questions and to find out where their knowledge lies, really.
Mm-hmm. Depends on where they're getting their information.
Yes, definitely. Tim, what advice do you have for young people considering joining the pro-life movement?
Well, I guess I would tell them, if you are already see through the pro-abortion rhetoric, and you already recognize that this so-called clump of cells that they're talking about inside the mother is in fact a living human being who is growing and developing according to a really amazing dynamic plan that's already in that individual's DNA and genes and chromosomes, well, then you're already well on your way to being part of our pro-life community. And like most young people, I would say you probably have a natural sense of fairness and compassion. And my advice then would be, never let anyone tell you that your sense of fairness and compassion can't extend to the mother, whatever her situation, but also at the same time to that innocent and defenseless baby in the womb. So being pro-life is saying that we can and we must love them both. And if you see where I'm coming from, I'd say you're definitely already one of us. I would say also, don't apologize for the truth. You don't have to say, well, this is just my opinion, because we know it's more than just an opinion. We know the truth when we see it. So don't be afraid to identify as pro-life. And if you do, you'll probably be surprised and see how many of your friends will agree with you. And some who don't agree with you will still be curious about why you see things the way they are or the way you see them. So I would recommend just do even just a little bit of research, go to some good pro-life websites, and you'll have all the tools you need to present your convictions in ways that your friends will understand. They'll get it. At least some of them will. And a good place to start would be the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation website. And there are other websites that are, or even organizations that are geared specifically to young people. And another one that you might want to take a look at is Students for Life of America's website and their social media. And that's a good way to help you help. This is a good way, Maria, for the young people to realize that they're not alone. And there are a lot of powerful, dynamic, talented young people who are just doing a tremendous job advancing this cause. And as the older generations hand over the responsibilities, I think we can be sure that they're going to be in capable hands, you know.
Definitely. We've got about 2 minutes left, and I'm wondering, how can people of any age get involved with People for Life?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Maria. Yeah, any age for sure. We love our young people, and young people should not worry about having to being expected to do too much. You can help us out, attend our events, do whatever you'd like to do, and be involved as much as you want to be. But we have a physical location on West 26th Street here in Erie, 1625 West 26th Street, and we're open all week long. People are welcome to come in and talk and see the kind of the things we're doing. There's different channels online as well. Shoot us an email, check us out on Facebook, call our phone number. I guess a good place to start, Maria, is website. It's www.peopleforlife.org. And then you'll see our phone numbers. Feel free to call. You can also watch for us at the community events. You might be at the Erie Wild Rib Cook-Off in a couple months. And if you are, please stop and see us there as well.
Thank you so much, Tim Broderick of Erie's People for Life, for being on Lifelines Radio today. It was a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Acting Executive Director of the Federation. Thanks for joining us today. It wouldn't be the same without you. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.